I was asked while I was getting a cup of coffee whether I'd got any good news for you. I guess the best news is that we're here. We're not in the bankruptcy court. I think the way things are today, that's quite good news. And it's, you know, you've got to be realistic about these things. 10 years ago, I think my mantra was, it isn't a gift, it's a loan. All this money, unbelievable amounts of money pouring into the industry, you know, Cape size is fixed for $300,000 a day. And, you know, there's a correction in all things. Shipping doesn't, in the long term, produce those sorts of returns. And so I'd say now's the time when the loan's being called, and we're seeing who's got a business that can cope with it. And that's the, so my job in, looking at this overview is to give a sort of quick perspective of where we stand in terms of the basics. What I'm going to do is cover the market overview, give you a quick bullet point of the things I'm going to say, the conclusions, and then if I don't finish in my 20 minutes, because we've got a very big countdown timer, but I can see at the back of the hall, you've got my slides, and you'll have an idea of what I was saying anyway. Then I'll look at the cycle today, where we are in the cycle, demand side, the supply side, and the market balance. And so let me just start off with a few points or a synopsis, if you like, of what I'm going to say to you. The first one is that it's no surprise. The Clarksea Index was something we put together to try and reflect the whole market, you know, a bit like the FTSE. It doesn't cover everything accurately, but it gives you an overview. And at the moment, it's 46% below trend. That's the 25-year trend. The world industry, in a way, this is quite good news. It's slowing. It's 1.4% growth of industrial production. I prefer industrial production to GNP. And we've got the OECD is minus 1%. Why is that good news? Well, at least as long as we don't hit a mega crisis, which is always a problem, at least we're at the bottom of the economic cycle, and therefore we can look forward to hopefully a recovery. I mean, all economic cycles go down and then they come up at some stage. That's, you know, one of the things that we know will happen. So I think the fact that we're at the bottom of a cycle is something you should remember when you look at all these gloomy statistics. China is, of course, you know, I think we're all a bit surprised how long China kept its sort of relentless growth path, and that's now slowed. Chinese imports and exports growing at 1 to 2% in tonnage terms in the last couple of years. And the shipyard output is up 5% this year, believe it or not, and the contracting, as Mr. Ellingson said, is down 70%. So that, I suppose, is the best bit of news, in that we are, at last, sentiment seems to have accepted that we're not at the beginning of a bull market and we don't need another 100 million deadweight of bulkers, which is the sort of thing that we've seen in previous years of this long recession. All major shipping markets are below the 7-year trend, everything now. I mean, last time I did a talk like this, at least tankers were making money. This time, really, everybody's under the curve. And the fleet is going to grow about 3% this year, despite very heavy scrapping. So there's a few irritating things around. I'd say that the people I chat to are finding the ballast water convention an irritation, and I'll come back to that later if I get time, but I'm sure it's something to discuss in the panel. And the environment is still very much on the agenda, and you know, looking beyond this cycle, which you've got to do. I mean, this, if you came into this business, you realise it's a long-run business. You've got to be in here for the long run. And the one thing we know will be with us in the long run is the whole environmental footprint of the industry, and it does need to look at changes. And then finally, the autonomous ships have suddenly leapt into prominence. Every sort of other previously quite sensible conference that I go to, suddenly everyone wants to build autonomous ships. I would think hard, long and hard before doing it. But do think about the use of information in shipping, because I think shipping, you know, you look at McKinsey, they don't mention shipping in their I4 papers, but shipping, I think, is one of the sectors which has more to benefit from the whole ICT, information communications technology revolution that is going on today than almost any other sector in the world. We can really use that because we're a global industry and we are getting even better satellite communications plus this bandwidth for the subsea cables. Okay, well, that's taken 5 minutes of my 20 minutes. So if I suddenly stop and walk down there, you'll know you'll know what I was going to say. The cycle, well, this is the FTSE index. It's averaged $15,000 a day. It's now down at an average of about $8,200 a day last week. If you take something like the Moore Stephens operating cost book and work out the average operating cost of a ship, it's probably not far from $8,000 a day. So we're on our uppers, basically. It's the bottom of the curve. It's not the first time it's happened. In fact, it's about the 20th time it's happened since, you know, the American Revolution, I think, actually. That's the, you know, you've got to have a long perspective in this. The tankers had a good spell. I still find it a bit hard to understand why it went on so long, but it did. And I think the tanker owners did very, very well in driving that market. They were, you know, they showed that they'd learned a thing or two over the years, and they made the most out of a period when oil trade was growing and the fleet wasn't. Now, unfortunately, oil trade isn't growing and the fleet is, so you've got the reverse there. The bulkers have had no such infusion of cash. Incidentally, that chart, this is 12-month earnings, so it's in arrears, the 12-month earnings. I do it this way because it shows you what people have got in their pocket. And I mean, the tanker industry has still got a bit of cash in its pocket because although the spot rates are way down, they've got 12 months of good earnings behind them, so there's a bit of cash in the bank there, whereas the bulkers, you know, this is like 1986, really. There's no drive in the thing at all. And I was very interested in Mr. Ullingson's comment because I got enormous respect for the Fearnley's analysts. I mean, I grew up learning. I learnt my trade from Fearnley's, you know. I mean, no disrespect to Clarkson's, but, you know, we learnt it so well that I think... I think that looking at the scrapping is something, if you've got 5 minutes to look at personally, I think that's something worth looking at because I think that comment is a good one. I'm not convinced it's enough, but we'll see. All the sectors are under trend today. At least when I gave this, you know, when I was giving this talk 3 months ago, the tanker sector was 50% over trend. Again, this is a 12-month average over a 7-year average. Today, everything except gas is under trend, and gas is falling fast. The LPG is falling fast. So, you know, we've got ourselves a proper recession on our hands, and you know, that's what you're paid to do, is to survive recession. So I'm not going to pretend it's better or worse than it is. It's what you come into this business, it's what the guys running shipping companies are paid to do. It's why the cargo owners don't want to do it. They give the business to you because, or to the owners, because they think the owners can do it better. And this is when you find out which owners justify that faith. The world economy, I mentioned, China's slowing. It's not totally slowed, but in trade terms, it's not doing much. The OECD is now negative, and I don't like this much because the OECD has lots of economic problems. I mean, Brexit has just really, I think, revealed perhaps some of the flaws in the EU. I mean, the EU somehow to me looks weaker after Brexit than it did before. It's sort of the whole question of the fact that it's a financial it's a union without a financial control. I mean, and can't see politically how that gets resolved. So, you have got some big problems there as well. And the OECD, but all the OECD problems are dealing with unwinding financial easing. We all knew it was going to be a problem. Well, it is a problem, you know. Basically, a lot of banks have still got a lot of stuff on the balance sheet. It's hard to get rid of. And so the OECD is now into negative industrial growth, and the OECD is the biggest cargo concentration. China's dented that, but it's still very important. So, and if you look at China, they increased their imports by 500 million tons up to 2008. Believe it or not, since the credit crisis, they've added 1 billion tons of imports. But in the last 2 years, they've only added 128 million tons. And their steel, I don't know if anyone, their steel industry, I could never understand where they were going to sell 1.2 billion tons of steel. And it is proving to be very difficult, actually. I think they are in deep trouble with that. So we've got a problem with China's imports, since really Chinese growth in that phase was mostly about the steel industry and the construction industry. And so what we've got is not that disastrous. The world economy is not falling out of bed like it did in 2009. I mean, that was truly scary. But we're down to 2.3% growth. And I think one decent scenario is you keep your fingers crossed and hope it might edge up to 3.5% in a couple of years' time if we got very, very lucky and the world economy goes right and we don't end up with some sort of financial crisis somewhere or some other sort of crisis around the world, because they do tend to turn up. So those are your scenarios. That's what we're all in the risk management business, Shipbuilding side, well... again, Mr. Ellingson spoke about the asset values. I'm surprised the shipyards haven't dropped their prices more. VLCC is still $85 million. In 1986, Worldwide bought themselves some VLCCs for, $36 million? And these were ships that had been, So I don't see the... I'm told the reason for this is that the guys doing the export credit have discovered how expensive it can be when things go wrong, and they're getting a lot more of a grilling on the contracts that they can get credit for, and that includes the prices. So the problem for the Koreans is they don't have cargo. China and Japan have both got cargo. The Koreans haven't got cargo. They got a big slice in the offshore sector. And again, I think that Mr. Ellingson mentioned that. So they got to sort it out. But I think this, at the moment, if we look at the order book, they're walking on eggs, but there's still ships in the yards. They're not quite at that desperate state, thanks to the heroic ordering of the industry over the last few years. They still have ships on the order book, and about 14-15% of the fleet. So that's, it's a couple of years. It keeps them going for 2 years. But, of course, the gaps are building up now, and the pressure is really coming on. And if you just look at what's happened to the dynamics, we got the phase when they were expanding capacity very fast, when you couldn't get a berth anywhere. Then we got the restructuring. Some of the order books slipped forward. We never did do 190 million tons deadweight deliveries. We peaked out about 160. That slipped forwards. We then got the restructuring. So we closed about 583 shipyards around the world. This is a time-consuming exercise to do, and I haven't updated it. Well, it's Clarkson's did the work. Clarkson Research did the work. They have a fabulous team working on the shipbuilding. And I didn't have the heart to ask him to do it again just yet, but that's the latest figure I had. And at the moment, we've got output up to 102 million deadweight this year. That looks as though it's going to happen, and drop back to 95 million deadweight. So that's still quite a bit of quite a bit of work going on in the yards. They are still very active. They are delivering everything. And this year, for the first time, the contracting again, as Mr. Ollinson says, and I don't think any, I think we've all heaved a bit of a sigh of relief here, there's the order book is, the ordering is 70% down this year. It looks as though the orders will be about 35 million deadweight this year. Not much bulkers except for the big Chinese order, some tankers, but everybody, I think, you know, is just, sentiment has just suddenly turned very, very negative at long last, and so that has to be good news for everybody except the poor old shipbuilders, bless them, because, you know, they've got thousands, tens of thousands of workers to employ, and, you know, what you do if you're a shipbuilder is you try and keep your workers working, because the minute you let them go, you know, you lose face. I mean, in Spain, I seem to remember they shot one of the managers when they had problems in the 80s, you know, so when I was in shipbuilding, they welded the shipyard gates closed in one of our yards with the managing director's car inside, which didn't please anybody much. it didn't please the managing director, and I don't think anybody else cared. The scrapping, well, I don't want to dwell on this. I'm sure it's something that for a good panel discussion, but we've been scrapping about 45 million tonnes. Just now I looked up, I reckon we've got about 130 million tonnes of bulkers over 15 years old, which are might be potential scrapping candidates. Although, you know, it's the big one, a lot of the big ones have gone, and the little ones tend to be quite resilient. We'll see what happens with the ballast convention, and I think that was an interesting idea. You know, I think over the years, these things don't always work out quite as one would like. And we still have got over 110 million tonnes of bulkers on order. So you could cover most of the fleet. So yeah, I think in the end, as you always say on this, you solve that it helps to scrap ships, but it's growth that changes the dynamics. What really gets the rates up is when there's unexpected cargo coming from the cargo side, and the cargo owners get caught on the hop, the owners see it, and that's how you've got some depth in the market to push the rates up, and that's what we're looking for, is a recovery in the world economy. For the time being, I put this slide in just to remind us that nowadays we don't have much layup, but we've got about 15 to 20% of the fleet slow steaming. That's hidden surplus, I guess. And with bunker prices where they are today, it probably is genuine hidden surplus. When it was $110, perhaps you wondered. I run this thing off every so often. It's a supply-demand chart. It says we got across the whole fleet for 17% surplus, whereas back in 2005 we had about a 10% shortage. These things are not rocket science, but they have some validity, and what it means is this slack in the business. And we really, to get back to a sustained good market, you need to clear this out. That doesn't mean you won't get a rally like the tankers had. You know, I mean, the tankers had a jolly good rally for nearly 2 years with quite a lot of surplus in the market while they were slow steaming. So there's no reason why you shouldn't have a couple of good years with the bulkers. But I think, the asset prices, well, I think you've already had a signal that this is something that deserves careful discussion, because it's good news and bad news. Well, that's left. Actually, this is the first time I've ever finished. I've got 55 seconds to go, so that's a relief. And I think, really, I would say, you know, this is the... I would have said this is the stage in the market that sorts out the men for the boys, from the boys, but that's a bit sexist. So I think it's the sheep from the goats. That's not, that's animalist, and the sheep are not putting up a lobby at the moment. So I'll say, you know, this is the time where you take a look at your balance sheets, your business, and you vow that next time you will be even more thoughtful about your future medium-term cash flow. Thanks very much for your attention. Thank you.